type 1, only about 5% to 7% of the population has. It is growing. That's due to an autoimmune disorder. They're not really sure what causes it. There is a genetic link with it, but basically that there's the beta cells in the pancreas that produce insulin. And some suggestion has been like early exposure to cow's milk, stress, an environmental toxin they're not sure of, basically causes the body to destroy this, those cells that produce insulin, and there's an absence of insulin production, and so, of course, you know, blood sugars will go up, and some, and typically they're hospitalized in diabetic ketoacidosis, and they have to go on external insulin injections to live. If they don't, they die. It's that simple, and it's a very usually sudden, boom, I'm sick. Now, about 90% of the people with diabetes have type 2. There is actually a very strong genetic link with type 2. If anyone out there, you know, has type 2, a parent with type 2, a brother or sister, they're at risk. There's a high, high genetic risk, but also our lifestyle. You know, I've read research that said about 80% of type 2 diabetes could be prevented with a healthier lifestyle. And so that's if someone gains their weight in their abdomen, if they're inactive, if they, you know, have gained, put on 20, 30 pounds, they're overweight or obese, all those are high risks for type 2 diabetes. So those beta cells in the pancreas that we talked about with type 1, well, those are definitely a part here. They are the insulin-producing cells. And over time, when someone is really overweight, eating a lot of high-fat, high-carb foods, that puts a strain on that pancreas, and it will overproduce insulin for a while to compensate and try and keep those blood sugars down. And insulin takes, like, the food you eat and kind of helps it get into the cells and keeps blood sugars at a normal range and keeps the cells full of energy and everybody feels good. Well, eventually, there's this insulin resistance happens, and the cells no longer recognize the insulin, basically. It can't get in and do its job. So you see there's more and more insulin being produced to try and force that glucose in and have it do its job. Well, eventually, the pancreas just gets tired out. Blood sugars rise to a point of being diagnosed with diabetes. Once someone has type 2, they may first start with an oral medication, diet, exercise prescription. But over time, and the estimate is at least about 10 years after diagnosis, they will have to go on insulin.
So, Ms. Troop, from a national perspective, again, how many of us have diabetes?
About 8.6%. That was based on 2011 data from the Centers for Disease Control. That's their estimate, but again, the estimate for 2050 is the one I always throw out there, which is 1 in 3 will have diabetes by 2050. We know about 79 million Americans have prediabetes, and that's about 30% of the population are at risk. It will overtake our nation as the number one health problem.
Here in Montana, it's a little less.
It's a little less. More in the, I think, 6.5% range. That doesn't include Indian country. In Indian country, you know, again, they're about 2.3 times more likely to have diabetes on the reservations. So in general, it's about 6.5. But again, prediabetes is high, about 30%. And again, in Montana, and it is growing. 20 years ago, you didn't see all the food places, right? All the chains that have come in. We were more active, right? A lot of our farming, logging, those types of jobs that were really active have gone away. So now we have more desk jobs. Our state's getting heavier. We used to be, you know, one of the leanest states in the nation. We still are lower than the southern states, which we call the diabetes belt down there in the south, where Georgia is, Alabama, and Mississippi. But we are rising.
You mentioned weight a lot. I'm a tall, skinny guy. I'm embarrassed about my diet. It is awful, but I am actually fairly active. Is my lean build, my skinny build, does that work in my favor?
You know, that does work in your favor. Now, do you have anybody in your family that has diabetes?
No.
Okay. So that also, that's probably even more powerful. Mm. The fact that you don't have anybody, you know, a genetic risk in your family. The fact that, yeah, that you are, you know, at a healthy weight. If you did gain weight, where would you gain it?
In my gut.
Yeah, and so that's a risk. If your blood pressure starts to go up, if your cholesterol levels start to go up, those are all risks. And then inactivity, and you mentioned you're inactive.
No, very active. Actually.
You're very active. That's probably your number one thing in your favor.
Yeah, but I eat cheese and starches and just garbage. I do.
Well, and exercise can't make up for a poor diet. I mean, if I can tell you, if you didn't exercise, you know, you'd probably be in a different situation. You'd probably at least be 10 to 20 pounds heavier and those types of things. Diet and exercise are 50-50 really in this game. So half of it is exercise. Half of it is looking at what you eat. So, you know, some basic advice we give folks is, again, you know, eat at least 3 times a day. Track what you eat. You know, write it down. Come see us. Meet with us. We'll look at that with you because If you eat a lot of high sugary, low fiber foods, again, that's going to put that weight on that pancreas of shooting up, give me some more insulin, and then, the highs and lows kind of thing that can happen. So we always recommend whole grains, watching the fat. High fat diets, that contributes to insulin resistance. If I eat a lot of fat, my insulin is not going to work as well for me. A basic guideline I give all my patients is try and have half your plate come from non-starchy fruits and vegetables, such as broccoli, carrots, tomatoes, cucumbers, lettuce, cauliflower. So that'd be my first advice for you. Look at those vegetables. Try and have more of your plate come from vegetables, and then look and fit in a few whole grains in there. Do you like whole wheat bread?
Yep. Salads, whole wheat bread, that sort of stuff. I love
it. Good. It's a step at a time, too. We can't do an overhaul overnight, but little changes add up to a big benefit.
That's self-discipline, and I've lost that for some reason.
Oh, you better come in and see us then.
And we'll talk about that in just a second. What are some of the warning signs, Ms. Troop? You're walking around. You have no idea that you may have diabetes. What are some telltale signs that something may be wrong?
Well, I think one of the things to know is sometimes you don't know, but your blood sugars are very, very high. So one thing, just like how blood pressure is a silent killer, diabetes can be that way as well. However, most folks, the common signs they have would be, like, if they find them, they have an unquenchable thirst. I hear that a lot from my patients. I just drink and drink and drink, but I never quench my thirst. Okay? That's a sign. If you're going to the bathroom, urinating frequently, like every few hours, you just always have to go to the restroom, then that's a sign that you might have diabetes. Also, blurred vision. We see folks will come in, they go and get the new glasses because they're having a hard time seeing. And guess what happens? When their blood sugars improve, those glasses don't work anymore because the blurred vision has gone away and they actually have gotten their vision back where it was before. So those are the three most common things that we see. Also, some folks, if they have type 1, tip more, like if they have unexplained weight loss. They're just so hungry, and they just keep losing weight. That's another big sign, too. Type 2, a lot of times we won't see. If anything, they might have a weight gain because that insulin, they're getting that, they have that extra insulin being produced in their body, and insulin's a fat-storing hormone. So you typically are going to gain if you have more of that and you're eating more.
The theme of tomorrow's conference in Missoula is control is the goal, and we were just talking a little bit about that. What is this control? What are you talking about?
Yeah, right. What is that? So control, let's talk about blood sugar control. Okay, so there are numbers out there from the American Diabetes Association, the American Association of Clinical Endocrinologists, from studies that show that certain numbers will help prevent the complications of diabetes. And those are things like eye disease, nerve disease, kidney disease, heart disease, to name a few of them. So basically, if your blood sugar, when you wake up in the morning, so we call that a fasting blood sugar, right? So you've been like on 8 hours without eating. If you're at 90 to 130 when you wake up, that's a good number. And then 2 hours after you eat is another key time to test your blood sugar. If you're less than 140 to 80, depending on the person, so less than 140 sometimes for folks is where we want them, at least less than 180, never higher than that. Those are two key numbers we look at when someone's testing their blood sugars daily with a glucose meter. We also look at a hemoglobin A1C, which we are offering those at the conference at no charge, 3 months. That's a three-month average of someone's blood sugars. You want that less than 7% in most people. So those are kind of those numbers that we look at of control. We also look at blood pressure control. We want that less than 140 over 80 in someone with diabetes. And we want their cholesterol, in a good range, less than 200 for total. We want their HDL, the good stuff, over, 40 or 50. And we want their LDL, the bad stuff, under 100. Triglycerides under 150. So it's kind of all those numbers. You got the heart with the blood pressure and cholesterol. You got the blood sugar numbers. That all of that, we want to get that under control. And that's how these folks with diabetes live long, healthy lives, absent of complications.
So that is possible.
It is very possible.
And control, also in terms of self-control, your diet?
Diet and exercise, that lifestyle piece. Taking the right medications at the right time when you need them, getting you on the right medication, and then looking at how much carbohydrate am I having at each meal. What type of carbohydrates am I choosing? What type of fats am I choosing? Am I getting my fiber in? I mean, those are all things we help folks with. Am I exercising? Am I getting at least 150 minutes a week of walking in? It doesn't have to be running marathons. You might be a marathon runner, but it doesn't have to be this intense, overwhelming task. It's just moving more, period. It helps keep our blood sugars under control.
Tell us about tomorrow's event.
Well, we have an exciting day planned with just a host of different speakers. I'm really excited about our panel we're having. We're going to look at healthcare reform, what's going on right now for the person with diabetes. We're having people from industry come and talk about what they see happening. we're going to have, you know, topics on exercise from a physical therapist. A dietitian is going to speak on nutrition. And we have Dr. Shannon, who's an endocrinologist from Olympia, Washington, who's our guest keynote speaker, giving us an update on diabetes. Also, we have mental health, behavioral health type of, I think one of the biggest things I see folks say, right, they know what they need to do, but they're not doing it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that. How do you break those behaviors and do what you need to do? Doors open at 7. We have exhibitors. We have about 20 exhibitors that will be there, from pharmaceutical companies to local companies to departments of St. Patrick Hospital. There's no registration. Doors open at 7. The lectures start at 8. We will have free hemoglobin A1Cs as long as we have the supplies for them, and it will be about 150 to 200. And then we have blood pressure checks, and we're serving breakfast and lunch. So we're just hoping to get a lot of folks out to really learn and empower themselves to take care of this disease, or if they are at risk, they can learn more about it, or if they have a family member that they're living with that they want to learn more to help them, you know, that this meets all of those needs.
Jennifer True, Program Coordinator for Providence Medical Group Diabetes Care and Prevention Center. Boy, informative stuff. Thanks a lot for your time.
You bet. Thanks for having me.